Blog Talk Radio.
It is Tuesday night. That familiar slap of the bass means it's time for the Pugilist Corner. Looks like we're having a little communications problem here with our first guest. But, yes, I believe we have him in the queue now. Let's get the show on the road here tonight with the Pugilist Corner. We've got a lot of young prospects. A few of them have been on TV. Mr. Ryan Carl, he was on TV this past weekend. We're going to start out with a super featherweight prospect here, young Mr. Mario Barrios. Mario, how are we doing this evening, my man?
Yeah, it's going good.
So, my man, it's been not that long since we had you on the show, but why don't you tell us a little bit for those that don't know you or really aren't familiar with your work. You are, I believe I correctly put you in the super featherweight division?
Yes, sir.
And I believe you just came off of a fight back here in September. It was the 26th, but if I... looking at the schedule correctly, you're back in the ring on the 11th of next month. Am I correct?
Yeah, you're correct.
So tell us a little bit about this this schedule that you seem to be on here. It seems what would be at five or six fights this year so far. Kind of looking at this particular time, you're looking for 12 fights in the past 2 years. So are you on an accelerated schedule here?
Yeah, I believe so. I've been staying really active, but I couldn't ask for anything better than that.
Now, just looking at things in general here. You signed with Golden Boy, and you're only, I'm looking here, what, 21 years old?
Yeah, I'm 20, but I'm not signed with Golden Boy. I'm signed with Al Haymon.
Oh, you said, okay. Looking on BoxRec, and we all know some of the information is a little skewed here, but tell me what it's like, young man, your age. You know, we've all heard about Mr. Al Haymon. What's it like as a young man to have someone that has such a great reputation among fighters to sign you at such a young age, for you to catch the eye of this man that's so well known in the boxing arena?
Yeah, it's something amazing. Like I said, I'm really blessed to be part of Team Haymon. They keep me really busy, and Haymon, he's doing really big things in boxing right now. So you can expect some big things from me.
Now, are you still living and training in San Antonio?
Yeah, I'm still living in San Antonio, but right now I'm training in the Bay Area.
Oh, okay. Now, talk to me a little bit about your training. Amateur background. What got you into the sport?
My parents, they were actually the ones who got me into sport. I was 6 years old. I was still too young to compete, but they said that they wanted me to be to be in boxing because I was the only boy out of living with my sisters. And that's how I started boxing. I had 110 fights as an amateur. I won the National Pals 3 years in a row, the National Silver Gloves, and numerous other tournaments.
Okay. Now, I'm looking at your height here. 6 foot. Does that kind of, I mean, you know, we all talk about tall fighters, and especially when we talk about tall fighters, you know, I mean, we talk about some of the greats of the past. Did you find your height to be an advantage in the sport, considering, that you are a super featherweight?
I definitely find my height to be an advantage. Most people my weight, they're real short, so it gives me the advantage of fighting on the outside really well. But, I mean, besides the advantage, I mean, like the fighters, the shorter fighters, they'll find a way in sometimes, but I can also fight on the inside.
Now, I'm looking at your record here. 12 wins, 7 by KO. So you do have you have some pop in your punch here. You're knocking out at about a 58% knockout rate here. Where do you find that you? What do you contribute your power? Do you contribute on leverage, or is it just natural ability?
I think it's a little bit of both. I get some pretty good leverage with my punches, so I think that's where a lot of the power comes from. And then just being in boxing so long, learning how to punch, how to turn into my punches and everything.
Now, you mentioned the 160 amateur fights, and one of the things that the conversations that I get into a lot with some of the trainers that we have on the show is our amateur program, and how a lot of guys, they don't spend the time in the amateur program that we used to, and that our amateur program is probably not as good as it was, 15 or 20 years ago. What did you find your experience in the amateurs? Coming through 160 fights and then, having to adjust. Well, let's talk about your amateur career first. What did you find that took you to the amateurs and made you so successful?
That's kind of a hard question. I never had the amateurs. I was successful as an amateur, but I was just ready to take it to the next level. So that's why we decided to turn pro.
Now, what was it that you saw in your style that made you, make that transition somewhat seamless? I mean, with a record of 12-0 and 7 knockouts, it would seem that you made that transition rather easily. What do you contribute that to?
I think because I always had a boxer-puncher style, so I was never really, a fighter that relied on points. A lot of fighters you'll see they'll just pity pat a lot of punches in amateurs just to get the points for the round. I was never that kind of fighter. I like to box and to sit down on my punches.
Well, what did you, other than the headgear and the equipment and that, what was your biggest challenge coming over to the pros?
I think my biggest challenge going into the pros was just learning how to relax in the fight, because in amateurs, everything's so fast-paced. You get, 4 2-minute rounds. So, I mean, it goes by fairly quick.
Did you find, was there a big transition in the conditioning and training, and how much time that you had to spend between the two?
No, there wasn't a problem with the conditioning and training. I've always stayed in the gym, and then when we made the decision to turn pro, we just We just took training to a whole other level, and that's where I'm at now. We're just with every fight as we go, we're just advancing.
Another question that I have for you, and I'm gonna consider you know your age and how young you are right now. When you first started out in 2011, you started out as 122 at 122. Now you're up to 132. Where do you think that you're going to level off and be comfortable at?
That's also hard to say, but I think if I'll end up around 147 towards the end of my career, and anywhere around there, it's hard to say. It just depends how my body adjusts throughout the years.
Now, when we think of, usually, you know, when we think of a tall fighter, fighter with a lot of pop, you know, the first thing we want to think of is and try to put him in that little closet hole, you know, Tommy the Hitman Hearns, tall, bringing the jab. Do you find your style? Do you find similarities in your style? You're trying to use the jab and like you said, the leverage of your punches rather than maybe engage.
Yeah, I find a lot of similarities. Tommy Hearns was actually a fighter I grew up studying. So as I grew taller, we tried to imitate his style.
And like you said, I mean, you know, now do you study a lot of film? You know, we talk to a lot of young fighters. They don't really study film. Depend on the trainer, you know, to put together a game plan and kind of tell them what to do. But do you watch films of your opponents with your trainer or by yourself?
I watch some film of my opponent, but usually it's my dad, my coach, and my everybody else on the team. They'll study my opponent and we'll come up with a game plan and we'll work on that in the gym. And then my dad, my coach, he'll show me like key things in the video.
Now, which do you find when you're studying film? Do you find that makes you more aware in the ring? Does that make it more easily for you to recognize some of maybe the traffic that your opponent is trying to set?
It has its advantages. Studying film, definitely. I mean, you get a sense of a person's style, but then at the same time, you never know what your opponent is working on in the gym. So you never know what they're going to bring to the table.
Now, talk to me a little bit about the traveling here, because I'm looking at the different venues. You've been out here in California, out in Fantasy Springs, which is close to me down here in San Diego. You fought out in L.A., even Biloxi, Mississippi. Las Vegas, the MGM Grand. What's it like as a young man fighting in front of, you know, some of these crowds, on the undercard of some of the bigger names?
Honestly, it's an amazing feeling, you know, fighting on these big cards all over the country. Like I said, I couldn't ask for a better start to my career than how I'm already going right now.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about family here, because a lot of the young men that we have on the show, myself, John Porter, some of the other young men, you know, you're trained by your father now. You know, we've seen some of these combinations go awry. But what's it like as a young man, not only being trained by your father, but also just having to separate sometimes those two roles. One of the fighters told me the way he does it is all things boxing, because his dad coach, once they leave the ring, it's a whole different ball game. It's the father-son relationship. How do you separate the two?
Me and my dad, we separate the two very well. In the gym, we work on what we have to, and then at the house, he's just my dad. He tries to not bring the boxing to the gym, the training to the house so much, because then when it's just boxing, it's all day with him. That's when we'll start bumping heads. So I mean, other than that, though, me and my dad, we have a really close relationship, and he's very good at separating the two.
Talk to us a little bit about family. You've spoken about your father. Are there any other people in your family that have a great influence on you? Maybe some siblings, perhaps your mother?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I have my mom, my two little sisters, and my older sister. So I definitely try to set a good example. I try to be a good role model for my little sisters. And even with my older sister, I'm always trying to push her to be better. But yeah, my mom and my grandma were definitely one of my biggest influences growing up, and they still are.
Yeah, there are times, as like around Valentine's Day, a lot of times I'll bring on the mothers and the sisters and things, and some of the boxers just to show the relationship and how important family is to young men in the sport. Now, let's talk a little bit about let's talk about your weight class, super featherweight. Right now, who do you think is the best boxer in your, well, the best fighter? I'm not going to say boxer. I'm not going to, whether you want to be a boxer or a puncher. Who do you think right now is the best young man walking around in the super featherweight division?
I think the best walking around in the super featherweight division is me. I mean, there's nobody that I believe that is better than me, and I can't wait until I get to the bigger fights and start fighting some very good opponents.
You know, that's a great answer. That is a great answer. Glad to see that you're super confident. And we look forward to seeing you apply your trade and make that dream come true. Now let's talk about some of the things that have transpired here recently. I'm sure you're very aware that Mr. Floyd Mayweather has retired. Mario, is Floyd the greatest of all time?
Floyd, he's definitely a great fighter, but I don't know if you could classify him as the greatest of all time. But that's just my personal opinion.
Well, that's what I'm asking for, your personal opinion. I have my own opinion of Floyd Mayweather, and throughout time, I've let listeners know that. But what do you think is going to be, so many titles out there, with Floyd leaving all these vacant titles, and you're talking about moving up eventually to about 47, which I believe is one of the titles that's kind of within that realm. So I guess what I'm saying is the super welterweight and middleweight division, are those the most prestigious belts right now other than the heavyweight title?
Yeah, I believe so.
And do you think, you know, now that Floyd has vacated all those titles, do you think that what effect that's going to have on the division?
With Floyd vacating all those titles, I think there's going to be a lot of excitement in that division. We should be seeing some really interesting fights coming up soon.
Now, you talked about Al Haymon, and, you know, even though as fight fans we enjoy the PBSCA, we know there's a lot of controversy around Al Haymon and you know, the different promoting bodies. But talk to me about your experience with Mr. Al Haymon as a fighter.
As a fighter, being with Al Haymon has been the best thing to happen to my career. Like I said, he's given me the best start to my career that I could ask for. As far as anything else that's going on, I'm not too sure about that. I just train and then I just fight.
No, I wouldn't even want you to comment on that. I'm just establishing more or less the great rapport that all of the fighters that are signed by Al Haymon seem to have with them. And to me, that it's important for the fighter to have trust in the people around him, especially the people that manage his career. Do you agree?
Oh, yeah, I definitely agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's you know, we've seen so many things, but I'm just wondering, you know, being a fighter that's signed by Al Haymon and being, you know, seeing how this PBC series has went, what effect has all of these free TV, you know, what effect has that had on your career? Do you feel more recognized by people? Do you feel more appreciated by fans? Exactly what has the PBC, the whole series and free boxing done for you as a fighter?
Al Haymon bringing back boxing to TV has probably been like the best thing for boxing in a while. And you have so many more people tuning into boxing. So yeah, I like even just being out back home in San Antonio, I'll end up running into a couple of people who say that they saw me on TV, that they saw highlights from my fights. So yeah, it's really amazing what Al Haymon has done with boxing.
Okay, now no, I believe I keep talking about your next fight. I think November the 11th. Is that scheduled for TV? Are we going to get to see your skills?
Yeah, I believe that one I'm going to be the co-feature. So that one it should be televised on Fox Sports 1.
Do you know anything about your opponent as of yet?
No, as far as I know, the opponent is still to be announced. So we're just training for anybody right now.
Oh, okay. Before I let you go, let's get your opinion on a couple upcoming fights here. And the first one I'm going to start out with, not the one that you're probably expecting, but I'm going to go with a featherweight title here. Lee Shelton against Fernando Maciel. Going to 12 rounds. What do you see in that fight?
That's hard to say. I just see it being a really good fight.
Okay, let's see. On that same card, of course, the main event. Gentlemen, we haven't seen him in the ring for a little while. Mr. Devin Alexander and Aaron Martin. About that fight, and what do you expect to see out of Devin Alexander?
Well, Devin Alexander, he hasn't been in the ring for a while, like you said. So I mean, I think he's gonna come with something to prove, because people are gonna be doubting him because of ring rust and everything. So I think that one is also gonna be a very interesting fight.
Yes, most definitely. Now I'm gonna ask you about the big one. Gennady Golovkin against David Lemieux. A lot of fanfare for this fight. It's going to be a unification fight. We know both of these guys have punching power. Abel Sanchez, we know, is one of the best trainers in the business. Who do you think is going to come up with the unified title? David Lemieux or Triple G?
I've always been a fan of Triple G. He has that, like you said, he has that Mexican style. You know, he has a lot of pop on his punches. But that's one of the main fights I'm very excited to see. I know that fight for sure is going to bring some fireworks.
Most definitely. Now, last weekend we were able to see a lot of these young British fighters. It was brought into our living rooms by the BEIN network, and we got to see some of the young English fighters come over. Tell me a little bit about what do you think about this influx of British fighters coming over here now and trying to establish their bones on this side of the Atlantic?
I think that's also really great for boxing. I mean, there's talent all over the world, and bringing them here, you know, it's just gonna raise the talent in the country also because of the competition. So, I mean, I think it's really good.
Well, Mario, hey man, I know you have to get back to your training. I know we can't. Slipped here in between your training schedule, so I'd like to thank you so much for your time, my man. Is there any social media or anywhere that the listeners can find you on?
Oh yeah, they can follow me on Twitter and Instagram as Boxer_Barrios, BARRIOS.
Alright, well, hey, thanks again, once again, my man, and we look to have you on when you come off your next victory. Thanks again for your time.
Definitely. Thank you.
No problem. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was Mr. Mario Barrios, young student featherweight. Right now, I believe he's 12-0 after his last fight, 7 KOs. We look forward to great things from this young man. And let's try our next young prospect, Mr. Armando Alvarez. He's getting ready to fight a young man out of Florida. Let's see if we can get him on the line. I don't know whether we're having problems reaching Armando or whether we're having problems with connecting with Blog Talk Radio. The old call failed. Let's try it one more time. Let's try Armando one more time here. Let's see what's going on with Armando. Ah, Maybe the young man does not like airtime, does not want to be talked to. Let's see if I can get his publicist on the line. Let's see. I think I'm going to move on here, and let me see if I can get Ryan Carl in early. Let's see if we can get Ryan in. Well, we know everybody has a training schedule here. Perhaps he doesn't have his phone with him. Let's see if we can move one of our guests up here. Well, his publicist can't find him either, so I'm not the only one. Red sounds good for me. Mr. Alvarez, where are you? Where are you, Mr. Alvarez? Car 54, where are you? Hold on a minute, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to see if I can call and get him on directly on this line. Let's see.
Yeah, you're not good for me, but I don't care, 'cause I'm doing what I want to do. But you're waiting on me, 'cause your man ain't there. Running on my body, I'ma roll up. And I'ma lick it like a switcher, 'cause you know that you my drug, drug. And I know I said I was gon' quit. I'm addicted to you after one hit. I've been hooked so long, rehab ain't gon' do shit.
Nobody, I ain't that.
Well, it looks like we've blown that, kind of completely blown that time up. Let's see. Let's see if I can get our buddy Ryan to call here on the phone. Let's see how this is going to work out. Gonna send Mr. Ryan Cowboy Call here. No, let's see if we can get him a little early. All right, we're gonna change things around here. I'm gonna grab Ryan right quick, Mr. Carbell Cowboy Carl. All right, so what? Yes, he's out of Plex Gym. He's one of Ronnie's fighters. And, yes, I have a lot of Ronnie's fighters on the show. But right now, we're going to have another one. So let's get Cowboy on the phone. Oh, okay. Without further ado, here's Cowboy Ryan Carl. Cowboy Carl. Hey. Ryan, how are you doing tonight, my man?
Hey, I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Oh, hey, I'm doing great. Now that we got you on the show, hope it's not too inconvenient. I moved you up a little bit. Of course, you understand one of our fighters are in training, and you know how that can go. Sometimes sparring can go over. So, hey, thank you so much for coming in a little early, my man. First of all, congratulations on the great TV performance you put on. I guess the first thing I should say is, how's the eye?
Oh, it's fine, man. You can't even tell I got touched now. It swelled up pretty good by the end of the fight. Later on that night, you know, it swelled more. But, you know, it's really healed fast. All the bruising, everything's gone from it. So,
you know, but... You know, we don't call you Cowboy for nothing, and it wasn't, you know, we didn't just bring that into the ring. The announcers are all stressed. You are a cowboy. You live the cowboy life. So, hey, you know, just another bump and bruise. Am I correct?
That's right. Just another thing. It's part of boxing. It's going to happen sooner or later to most fighters, of course, not Floyd, but. You know, to 90% of fighters, you're going to have things like that happen. You know, I don't swell. I've never swelled in my life in boxing, and I just naturally don't. He just caught me just right in that, and swelled immediately.
Now, yeah, let's talk a little bit about your progression, because we've, you know, been with you probably since almost day one. Met you down there with Ronnie. I believe you were in San Antonio. In the, you know, the time that you've been professional, what does it mean to you having just, you know, one trainer, being under one program, and being able to establish the relationships that help you grow as your career progresses?
It's really great, because it's great in more ways than one, because they learn me. Ronnie Shield is learning me, is still learning things about me, you know, learning my personality, what I can do in the ring, what he can ask me to do in the ring. And, you know, if I'm going to maybe fold under pressure, or, you know, all those things he's still learning and about me. And, you know, with having one trainer, I don't have to have a whole bunch of people learn it, you know. It's just right there, Ronnie Shields. Now he knows me. He's comfortable with me, and I'm comfortable with him. When he tells me something in the corner, I you know, I believe him, 100% honest. I know that he's telling me this because it's right, and I don't have to question it or look to my father to see if my father feels the same way. You know, I just, you know, Ronnie's the number one guy in my corner. And because we have one team, we've gotten so comfortable with each other that, you know, it just comes natural for me now.
Now, this was, I believe, your second six-rounder. But more importantly, this was, I believe, the third fight that you've had to go the distance. So in your last five fights, you've had three of them go the distance. Cowboy, did you learn, and I know it may sound a little ridiculous, but did you learn more in those three fights, and especially this last fight, possibly than you did during all of those quick TKO victories?
Oh, for sure. This last fight was probably my biggest learning experience. Which, you know, I don't know if I learned new things or if it just reminded me of the things that I already knew that I need to bring back up to the top of my list of working on and things like that. But for sure, the three fights that I've gone the distance in, I've definitely learned more. I've seen where I could have done better. You always look at improvement a lot harder whenever you go the distance. You know, having the short fights, the quick knockouts are always great and fun, you know, because you get your guy out of there, you win your fight, and you look great, and everybody loves a knockout. And but as far as learning, you need to go the distance sometimes, whether you want to or not. And you just got to find the right opponents for it. And then you got to adjust. So next time you get this opponent, you're not going to go the distance. You know, you figure this guy out faster. You learn what you need to do next time. So I think in these last three, the three times I've gone the distance, I've probably learned the most.
Now, I kind of noticed some similarities. And I'm going to bring up, you know, I mean, I know your last victory was hard fought, but I spoke of the camaraderie between your team. The last time your team was in the ring, it was Mr. Brian Pee Wee Cruz. They had a fight that proved particularly hard for him, just as this fight proved a little difficult for you. Ryan, did you draw upon the adversity that you had seen your teammate go through to help you weather the storm and get things back on track after losing probably that one round of the fight?
You know, after losing the first round, you know, I had 128 amateur fights, so it never fazed me as far as that goes. I never went back to my corner and thought, come on, you got to be tough, you got to do this, or you got to be strong. It just seemed to me like another day in the office. I know I got caught with that and messed up my left eye, and it swelled immediately. I could feel it, and I never thought, man, this guy's tough. He's tougher than I thought he was, or, man, you're in a heck of a fight now, you know. I just thought, like I always, you know, I try to go into every fight thinking that it's going to be a war, whether it really is or not. I go in there with the expectation that it's going to be a knockdown, drag-out war. Gonna be tough. You're gonna have to suck it up. You're gonna have to push forward. And I go to every fight looking that way. And so whenever I get in there and it is tough and rough, it's nothing new. It's exactly what I expected. And so whenever that, after that first round, I just come back to the corner and sit down, you know, listen to Ronnie, what are you gonna tell me? And you know, learn from the mistakes of the first round and learn to adjust. So I felt, you know, I didn't feel bad going into the second round. I felt pretty confident still.
But, you know, it's real funny that you say that, because I kind of threw a jab at Ronnie Sunday, because usually when one of Ronnie's fighters gets in trouble, we see Ronnie, we see the Chucky Ronnie come out. Where and you know exactly what I'm referring to.
Oh, yeah.
But when you did come back to the corner, even though, you know, like you said, I mean, it was kind of like business as usual, Ronnie never raised his voice. He kind of looked at you right in the eye, told you what he wanted you to do, and went on about his business. Now, I had never seen Ronnie that calm after his fighter supposedly loses the first round. Usually he's right there, you know, driving the whip, making sure you establish the game plan. Is that Ronnie's show of confidence in you?
That, you know, that's how I feel about it. I feel that Ronnie has a lot of confidence in me, and that he knows that he doesn't really have to. I guess it feels like he doesn't have to worry that I'm going to, you know, I'm still going to stay focused. I'm still going to do what I'm supposed to do. He's seen me in sparring, have a bad round of sparring and walk back, and we're just calm as ever. And he tells me, hey, you did that wrong. You know, you need to do this, and I come back and I completely change the next round. And adjust to what he's telling me, and I think he has confidence in my ability to adjust and in just my demeanor. I'm a very calm person in the corner, and I don't let really anything bother me. I think that helps a lot too. And I stay pretty focused, so I'm listening to him. I'm not looking around. I'm not worried about my eye. I'm just sitting there, relaxed, just trying to learn something from him in that minute.
Now, You've been around for a little while now, almost 2 years, settled down into the pro rankings. Now, what to you at this point, having 10 professional fights, what do you see now was your hardest transition from amateur to pro? And how much did that 160-plus fight amateur experience help you make that transition?
The amateur experience, without it, I'd be a completely different person. I would be nowhere near the fighter I am. I think that the experience with the amateurs taught me how to adjust and how to adjust from an amateur style to a professional style. And it also taught me how to adjust in the corner. You got 3 rounds, 1 minute. You don't have an end swell. You got a hit, you run. You're not getting cut. You know, you don't. None of that stuff's happening. You don't have all those other factors that can possibly phase you or rattle a fighter. And now you get in the corner and you learn to have faith in your team because, I mean, you can be worried. It's not going to change anything. You know, they're going to be just as good as they're going to be whether you're worried or you're calm. And so, I think the biggest thing to adjust for me was to stay calm in the ring, to settle down in the ring. I still have a trouble warming up early in the fights. It's pretty cold in the dance hall, and I'm a slow starter most of the time. And so that's probably the biggest adjustment for me is to stay calm in the ring when I get in there and just maintain from the beginning all the way to the end instead of coming on stronger in the second or third round and then maintaining.
Most definitely. Now, Cowboy, let's get a little serious here now. Being that you are a cowboy, for general purposes, a country boy, Cowboy, how hard is it to stay focused when you're surrounded by, I mean, so many temptations? I mean, you know, we just look at the different venues that you're fighting in. You're in casinos. You have lights flashing in front of you. How hard is it for you to keep focus and not, you know, as we see a lot of the young guys being drawn in by all the frivolities of the moment?
Yeah, I mean, as far as, you know, you're on TV, you got the camera on your face, and, you know, everybody, you know, especially being from a small town, everybody thinks you're famous. And so, you know, they kind of put you a little different. And it's hard to at first, when you first come back from a fight, everybody's talking to you about your fight. Everybody thinks you're famous. Everybody thinks everything's awesome. But you just got to remember that if you would have lost that fight, everybody would have been talking about you, saying, you know, that you're not any good, or all these critics would have been criticizing you. And you just got to remember that, because if you don't keep training, that's what's going to happen. You know, they love you now, but nobody loves somebody that's not winning. And so that's my motivation as far as that goes on that situation. as far as temptations, I'm actually, the hardest temptation for me is to, when I'm in training, is not to do anything. I can't, you know, when I'm training for a fight, I can't go ride horses. I can't go do stuff like that. I can't go hunting. I can't do any of that. And that's probably actually the hardest temptation for me.
Yeah, I would definitely imagine that. But, you know, I don't, you know, I'm sure you've been on the program enough now to where most of our audience knows that not only do I try to get you on the program, but I also try to make sure when you do go in the ring, I touch base with your dad, your mom, and your wife. Talk to me a little bit about, and the audience about, you know, that strong family ties and the strong family group and how that keeps you focused. And by the way, how is the family, including the new addition?
Oh, everything's great. You know, my little boy, he's awesome as ever. He's a handful, and, you know, he's got such a personality. He goes and finds my boxing gloves and comes and hits me with them. You know, he's only a year old, but, you know, he's already kind of picking up on it. But, I mean, as far as having a strong family base, I have all the support I need, and it's where it counts because I have a wife that understands boxing. And so, in that sense, I mean, whenever I go to fights, I'm on edge. You know, I'm coming on, I just don't, you know, making weight and all the stuff going on. You're at the hotel, you know, so you're just kind of on edge a little bit for me. I've always been right there the first, you know, first 2 days or whatever. But, and she understands that, and she doesn't, you know, like on weigh-in day, she doesn't talk to me. She doesn't talk to me the entire morning until after weigh-in. She just doesn't message me, nothing, and unless I call her. And so she always, she understands it. She understands boxing. She understands it's a high-stress situation. And even at the fight, she doesn't come try to find me and come try to talk to me in my locker room or do any of that stuff. And, of course, I don't think my mom would let her anyways because my mom's always trying to look out for me in my best interest as well. And, you know, any time we're at the venue or anything in boxing, my dad is always right there beside me. He doesn't leave me in the locker room. Nothing. I've always got somebody with me, and it's always him. He's always looking out for me. So, I mean, it's just the atmosphere of it. I feel, I don't know, I just feel so secure in my family around me. I feel so confident. I feel just as a whole team, as a whole unit with my family around me because I know they have the best interest in mind for me, and also I know that they know boxing.
Yes, and you know, your career kind of speaks for itself right now. Like I said, you're 10-0, seven by KO. So, Ryan, what do you have planned? Is this your last fight of the year, or do you think there are going to be plans for another appearance this year? And
I fight December 12th in San Antonio. Ronnie told me that, so I'm excited about that. Get one more fight in before the year's over, and move on from there.
Now, right now, you know, we know you're relatively young in the sport. Even though right now you're fighting, welterweight.
Junior welter. That's what I'm going to 140.
So now, right now you're at age 23. You've had 10 bouts. I was looking at some of the other young prospects. Where do you see yourself, or what is the weight class do you finally want to contend in, or do you think that you can stay in this particular weight class comfortably and accomplish your goals?
I want to try to win a title at 140 pounds. That's our goal right now, is to win a title at 140. And then as my body continues to mature, because, you know, I'm still maturing, I'm still growing some as far as filling out and things like that. But we'll just cross that bridge when we get there. But right now our main goal is to win a title at 140.
Right now, who would you say going back to your last fight, what would you say was the most important lesson that you learned in going the distance in that fight?
The first thing I learned in the first round is I was standing up too tall, and I went straight backwards. You know, two just fundamental mistakes I made right there in the very beginning. I learned, of course, I know this, but you can't knock everybody out even though you want to. But you already knew that, but it just kind of stuck it back in the front of my mind. I think, you know, and have faith in your corner and don't let anything bother you.
Hey, as always, my man, it's good to have you on the show. We always appreciate you and the family and all the support that you give us in the show. So after your bout on December 12th, we'll have you on, talk a little bit about Christmas and what you'll be planning for the family. But before you leave us, why don't you tell everybody where they can find you on social media? Of course, any events that you might be attending or going to, and once again, when you'll be back in the ring.
Yeah, you can check me out on Twitter and Instagram at CowboyCarl1, and of course I have a Facebook page at Ryan Cowboy Carl. But you know, I fight again December 12th at the AT&T Center in San Antonio, and hopefully we'll be able to work something out with a pretty good opponent for that fight too.
Yeah, Ryan, hey man. As I said, always good to have you on the show. Hoping that you'll be on TV a lot more, so that more people will be exposed and be able to follow your career. So thank you very much, my man, and look forward to having you on in the month of December.
Hey, thanks again, and y'all have a good night.
That was Ryan Cowboy Carl out of Plex Gym, one of Ronnie Shields' up-and-coming prospects. And right now we're going to conclude the program with another super featherweight, Mr. Talk-On Con Clary. He also is going to be fighting soon, but let's see if we can get him on the line. Good evening, Tonka.
Hi, how you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great. Let's have a formal introduction for you here, my man, even though you have been on the show before. But let's get the name correct. I don't want to completely just mess up this name here. So tell everybody how we can correctly identify you.
Well, I go by Tokacon Clary. Tokacon Clary. Similar to Genghis Khan.
Tokacon Clary. All right. Now, a lot of people aren't familiar with your background. Can you tell us, you know, where you come from? We all notice the African accent. Tell us a little bit about how you got to the country and about your name. It says Tokacon is your regular name, but Clary is your adopted name. Can you kind of give us a little background on yourself?
I'm originally from Liberia, in Africa. I came to the United States when I was 5 years old. We first came into Philadelphia, my family and I, and a couple years later we came to Rhode Island. My name Tokacon is a family name, and that's how I got my name from my grandmother. And I don't really know the whole thing behind it, but that's what my grandmother told me. She gave me that name. And we moved from Philly to Rhode Island when I was about 7 years old, 6 or 7, I'm not sure when. And yeah, and since then I've been here. And my name came from my mother. My name, Clary, came from my mother and my father, who adopted me a couple of years after I started boxing.
Now, you said you moved from Philadelphia to Rhode Island. Now, to be a boxer, hey, most of us are thinking it would be the other way around. you grew up in Rhode Island. All of a sudden, you came into Philly, you know, Joe Frazier and all that, and got, you know, embroiled in the world of boxing. How did you get embroiled in boxing in Rhode Island?
When I was young, I didn't really know. I didn't even know boxing. I didn't know anything about boxing. I didn't know the name boxing. I was young, and when I moved to Rhode Island, a friend of mine, Jared, was boxing at the time at Manfredo's gym, and he kept going to the gym, and I didn't really understand because he really liked boxing, and he would come home and talk about it, and he would tell us how it was a good workout and stuff like that. But I didn't really think much about it until one day he took me into the gym, and I actually got to see a lot of young kids that was actually younger than me was able to do. They was able to work out, and I was able to see them sparring and stuff like that. And when I first seen that, I actually fell in love with boxing. I wanted to be a part of it. I wanted to go in the ring and just be able to hit somebody and not get in trouble for it. Was pretty cool. So I just liked that idea. And when I was younger, I got into a lot of street fights. So I was trying to, if I could hit somebody without getting in trouble, I figured it would be pretty cool.
you make it sound like it was kind of fun, and boxing's not cut out for everybody. Now, did you have any amateur background before you turned pro? Did you have an amateur background in Rhode Island?
Oh, yes, I did. I had 130 amateur fights. I had a chance to travel all around in the United States. I even got to travel overseas to represent the United States in a couple of dual tournaments, and I represented the United States in the Pan Am Games. Boxing took me all over the world and throughout the country. I won 112 of my 130 amateur fights. I fought a lot of great fighters in the amateurs. I fought Rennell Williams, Jose Ramirez. Both of them was Olympians, and Kenneth Sims. I fought a lot of good fighters, and they're doing real good in the pros now. So all those experiences that I got from the amateurs, it helped me out into my pro career.
I've talked to a lot of young guys about, you know, some of them have had extensive amateur careers, some have not. Tell me about that. You know, since you were saying that being able to actually enjoy being in the ring and being in a combat sport, hitting somebody else without, you know, as you said, without getting in trouble, how much did you enjoy the amateurs and how was, you know, I guess what I want to say is, you know, how did you make that transition from amateur to pro? When it was a completely different.
Well, if you look back at a couple of my, there's a few amateur fights tape on me on YouTube. My trainer Peter Manfredo, he trained us all the same because we trained with the pros when we were younger in the amateurs. I got the opportunity to watch his son Peter Manfredo fight, and we had a lot of pros that was coming up, and he trained us the same way he trained them. I didn't really have the opportunity to like. We didn't really learn an amateur style to throw a lot of punches. So most of my fights, I was fighting as a pro, like a pro in the amateurs. I would sit down on my punches. I wouldn't throw as much, but I was trying to, like, if I was throwing something, I wanted to mean something. I was trying to hit my opponent with every shot I threw. So it wasn't really hard for me to make a transition into the pros because that's how my trainer have always trained us. But it is a problem for a lot of fighters because the longer you stay in the amateur, it's harder for you to make that transition because you're used to a style you've been doing for so long. And in the amateurs, it's only three rounds, so you got to throw as much punches as possible to get the points. And in pros, which is completely different styles, and a lot of people can't make that transition. You just it takes time to make that transition into the pro. Take your amateur style and turn it into a pro. It takes time.
Now, I'm looking here, 23 years old, you've been fighting now for I'm going to say close to 3 years.
Yep.
16-0, 10 yep. KOs. That's about a 59% knockout rate. What do you see in your near future as far as how you want to progress as far as the rankings and the super featherweight division?
The super featherweight division is a real good division. It's a tough division right now. We got a lot of great fighters in the division and a lot of dudes doing big things. But I definitely want my name to be a part of that. I know I got to keep working. I know I got to fight better opponents, but I feel like my team, they're doing a real good job with me, top rank Bob Arum, and my manager and my trainer and my man Dan Crotty. And I know I got a real good team with me, and I just fight who they play in front of me. We don't duck nobody. When Brad Goodman called us, he said, "This is the name we guys going to fight. We go with it." I'm just ready. I know we got 16 fights in now. We're not young no more. We up there. We gotta get ready to put our name out there just so that we could be recognizable when we're on TV and stuff. That's the big time. That's what we're trying to get to.
Now, 5'6", but you have a 72.5-inch reach. Do you find yourself with the reach advantage in most of your fights? And would you consider yourself more of a boxer or more of the classic puncher boxer?
I find myself as a puncher boxer. I feel like I could do, if I have to bang, I feel like I could bang with whoever, and I could stay on the outside and outbox an opponent if I have to, because I got the hand speed, I got the ring generalship, and that's another thing. I have always trained to do everything. We don't stay one dimensional. We try to learn every aspect of boxing, staying in a pocket, using our reach, and using the ring, and using our angles as well. And we just try to work on everything. And I feel like when an opponent brings something, and I go over, try to adjust to his style or make him fight my fight.
Like you said, you do have that fighter puncher style where you can go in inside, outside, get rough if you have to. Now, T-Nice, how did you get that nickname?
T-Nice was something I got from when I was playing football at a young age. I was playing football for West Elmwood, and my teammates just started calling me T-Nice, and it stuck. And I took it with me in school, and I brought it with me to boxing.
Ah, okay. I got to ask the question. Rhode Island, are you a Patriot fan?
No, I'm not. I am not a Patriots fan. I am a Denver Peyton Manning fan.
Oh, my goodness. Now,
yes,
I am. I thought I was a fish out of water. I mean, you know, I live in San Diego, and I'm a Steelers fan. In fact, on Twitter, I'm known as a West Coast Steelers fan. So,
okay.
You know, I mean,
you guys got a good game. You guys won a good game the other night.
Most definitely, and we won the game with a 38-year-old Michael Vick.
Man back in the day.
Yes, sir. You know, and you know, after all the doubts and whatnot, but now you're a Denver fan. I got to ask the question. Is Peyton's arm turning to spaghetti or what, man? What's going on?
Ain't turned to spaghetti, man. My man just need time. He's gonna get it. Peyton, man, you know the thing is. With an athlete like Peyton Manning, I feel like there's so much pressure on him every time he's on the field, you know. And I feel like sometimes I take a toll on him. People expect so much out of him. And football's a team sport. Other guys got to be doing their part for him to do his part. And you know, I feel like he gonna bounce back. He's having a little rough patch right now, but Peyton Manning, he's going to find a way out. I feel like this is our year. We're going to get to the Super Bowl this year. This is Peyton Manning year.
Uh, Are you gonna send out a safari or somebody to find CJ Anderson? Because I haven't seen him show up in a few games either.
We're gonna be all right, boss. We're gonna find a way to get it. We're gonna be good.
All right. Okay. All right. Well, hey,
Emmanuel Sanders gonna pick us up.
All right. Well, you know, it's hey, we're only there into the fifth game of the season. You know, there's still a lot of football to be played. So let's see. It's not like you're in exactly the hardest division, but you're in a really competitive division. So
yeah,
we'll see.
We are 5-0 right now, though. We undefeated, one game at a time.
Yeah, you 5-0. Jamal Charles has won. He's gone for the season, so you know that makes it a little bit easier in that division. The Steelers just handed San Diego a loss, so that helps a little bit. So hey, you know,
yeah.
Every little bit helps.
You are in
a good position at 5-0. You're in much more position to talk trash than I am with my Steelers. So we'll leave that alone for right now.
All right.
but let's go back to boxing, man. You know, hey, we've seen Floyd Mayweather's gone. According to rumor, and according to what we've heard from Floyd's camp, Floyd says he is done. What does that mean to young up and coming fighters like you, you know, who now it seems, you know, you don't have to, everybody's out and under the you know, that harsh spotlight of Floyd and whatnot. We got free boxing on Tuesday. We got boxing on Friday. We still got our HBO and Showtime on Saturdays. I mean, you know, hey, there's boxing all over the place. It just seems like everything's opened up with the PBC series. So talk to me first about Floyd's retirement and then about how things have opened up for young men like you, the advent of this PBC series.
Well, with Floyd's retirement, I mean, I think he might come back for one more fight. And I'm not – that's up to him, but I feel like he will. But with him gone, it opened the door for a lot of young fighters like myself, you know, because boxing is looking for the next superstar. And, you know, it could be – with boxing, it don't have to be a big name right now. A young fighter could just come up and take the spotlight from any of these fighters, you know. That's how I look at it. That's how I look at it, too. And with him gone, it gave boxing looking for the next big name, and it could be anybody. It could be me, which I'm hoping is me. I just got to keep working, but it could be anybody from anywhere. And PBC boxing is doing great. I got them on my Facebook. They throw tremendous shows. They give young fighters tremendous opportunity to put their talent out there, and they're doing great with their show and everything. And I think it's the next big thing. I feel like since ESPN gone, a lot of people that don't even watch boxing be tuning to that don't watch ESPN boxing tuning to PBC boxing to watch the fights now. And I think it's a wonderful thing. It gives, and it's a big opportunity for a lot of young fighters too. It's great.
Most definitely. I mean, you know, just for example, I mean, you know, Deontay Wilder, American heavyweight champion, has defended his title twice in Alabama. I mean, you know, when's the last time, you know, you've seen heavyweight champ or, you know, a lot of these fighters go to different venues and not, you know, be just restricted to the big markets like necessarily New York or Las Vegas. But now we are being boxing back to the grassroots level. And there's a lot of fights up around your way, a lot of fights around here in New York.
Yes, there is.
And now, we have some fights coming up this week. As a matter of fact, we have some fights coming up tomorrow. Gerald Washington, Amir Mansour, the heavyweights, you know, a lot of heavyweight fights. We're not really going to get off into those. But on the 14th, we do have some fights that are rather entertaining and one that, you know, might catch your radar a little bit here. But the first fight I'm talking about, Devin Alexander, has been out of the ring for a little while now.
Yeah.
Welterweight, coming back in. He's going to be fighting a gentleman named Aaron Martinez. What do you think, what do you look to see from Devin? You know, it's been a while. Are you expecting a lot of ring rust?
Man, I tell you, I love Devin when he first came out. I still like him. I still watch him. I watch him to learn off him, and I feel like for Southpaw, he's a real good fighter. I just think like he needs to go back to when he first came out, and he needs to grab that same hunger feeling he had. And I feel like it kind of left a little bit. I don't feel like he is hungry as he was when he first came out, because he was tremendous. He was beating a lot of guys when he first came out. His hand speed, and I feel like that might have gone a little bit. But Devin's he's a veteran in the game, and he's smart, and I think he's going to come out. There might be a little ring rust, but he's a veteran. I feel like he's going to get past that. You know, probably through the third, fourth round, he'll be his home. He'll be at ease in the ring again. But Devin's he's an experienced fighter, and I feel like he's going to get the win. He's a very good southpaw. I like watching him, and he's going to be a good net for him, I feel like.
Okay, now, you know, we have another Englishman coming across the pond trying to establish his name over here. He's in the featherweight division. The IBF featherweight champion, Mr. Lee Selby. He's going to be fighting Fernando Montiel for the IBF featherweight title. What are you looking forward? Well, are you familiar at all with Selby and his style?
No, I'm not familiar with those guys.
Okay. Selby is the champion, and, you know, I know you're, what are you, super featherweight, so...
super featherweight, yeah.
Your expectations might be a little bit higher, but I'm going to ask you, like I asked some of the other gentlemen now at age 23, right now you're fighting super featherweight. But number one, how much longer do you think you can fight at that weight, or is this a weight that you are intending to stay at? At 23, are you still growing?
I'm good here. I don't have a problem making weight at all. I'm growing. I don't think I'm growing, but not crazy. We stay in the gym, so we constantly working. So. We just stay ready, so we'll have to get ready. If you ever heard that quote before, that's what's going around. So my weight's never a problem for me, you know, and I feel like with making weight is something that is most definitely, because it's an embarrassment to you and your team if you don't make weight, you know. So that's one important thing, my training, and we big on that. We always try to walk around close to our fight weight. We don't be on it, but we try to stay close to it. And so when it's fight time, we're not going crazy trying to get down to weight. So I'm always trying to maintain my weight and stay around my weight. And I'm not moving. I'm be here for a little bit. I'm not struggling making no weight, so we're going to be here for a little bit. I like it here.
Yeah, you know, it always amazes me when fighters try to turn their training camp into a weight loss camp and then wonder why they're not prepared when it comes time for them to get in the ring. But that's a discussion. That's a discussion that we'll have for another day. Let's talk about the biggest fight that's coming up. Of course, this weekend, pay per view. Triple G against David Lemieux. Who you got?
Oh yeah. Oh, that's a good fight. That's a real good fight right there. But I gotta go with my man Triple G. I gotta go with Triple G because. I don't see nobody stopping him right now. The dude's so smart. His ring generalship, I don't know, outside of boxing, people see that, but he's smart. He cut up the ring beautifully. And, you know, he's just a smart fighter, man. He's not just a banger. He's smart, and he go box. And what's his name? The other guy.
David Lemieux.
David Lemieux, he fought one of my friends before. He fought Elvin Ayala from Connecticut, from our era. He stopped him the first round, but he also been stopped before, too. You know, he had been stopped before earlier in his career. But he's a real good fighter. He's a tough guy, too. But I just feel like Triple G is have a lot more experience than he does, and he is the better fighter. Triple G is the better fighter, and I think Triple G is gonna come up with a knockout victory. I feel like.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we've had David on the show before. He's called in from Canada. We're also really, really close with Mr. Abel Sanchez, Triple G's trainer. So we kind of, you know, push-pull as far as, you know, who we want to win the fight. But what we're most concerned about is the show that they put on. I think this is going to be definitely a fight card for the fans. And there's some good fights on here. On that card, are you familiar with the work of Chocolatito Gomez, Gonzalez?
Gonzalez?
Yes.
I'm not sure.
Chocolatito?
Chocolatito?
The champion. Yeah. Right now, I think it's he's in discussion for one of the best pound-for-pound fighters out there, even though he is...
Is that the lightweight dude? The real lightweight dude?
Yes, the flyweight.
Yeah. I haven't got the chance to watch him, but I heard a lot of nice things about him. I heard he's dominating his weight class, and he's taking everybody out.
If you have a chance to go on YouTube, he was the co-headliner for Gennady's last fight, and believe me, this is one of the most exciting lightweight fighters, flyweight that we've seen in years, and the young man should be dominating that weight class for a long time. Lamont Peterson is always is also going to be back in the ring. He's going to be fighting also on the 17th. Another PBC fight, PBC on NBC. What do you think about Lamont Peterson? He's another friend of the show's. We've had him on a few times, but he's one of those guys that always proves to be a tough out, he fights in that same vein as you guys up around in that area, that D.C., Philly, New York area. I mean, some of your gym wars up there are more fabulous than some of the boxing shows that we see on TV. What do you see for Lamont?
Well, Lamont Peterson, I love Lamont Peterson. He's a tremendous person first, and he's a great boxer. And he got a real good team around him, Barry Hunter, Mike Stafford, all those guys. Those guys do a tremendous job with those guys they have down there. And Lamont Peterson, I feel like he's a tremendous, tremendous boxer. Good hand speed, he got good power, and he got real good ring generalship. And I feel like he's going to do his thing when come fight night. He always show up to fight. When he fought his last fight with who did he fight last?
Danny Garcia.
I feel like I would have given the fight a draw.
Do we still have you?
Hello?
Yeah, do we still have you?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Yeah, I thought we had lost you there for a moment.
No,
but,
I'm here.
hey, man, it's good talking boxing with you. You're very knowledgeable. I'd like to invite you back, man. Maybe you come back and co-host the show with me, man. And
I'll co-host the show with you. Oh yeah, I love to go to boxing.
All right, well, I'll set up a show, man. We'll get a cut man, we'll get a boxer, a referee, and we'll do a show. We'll set that up. I'll get back to you on that. It was great talking to you. You have a lot of knowledge, my man, and you take to the radio. I don't know. I might be flirting with disaster. Next thing I know,
nah, that's your show. You better than me at it.
All right, well, hey, my man, tell everybody, you know, do you have any social media, anything any fights you might have coming up soon? Just your final thoughts for the general audience.
Yeah, my name is Toka Khan. You can find me on Facebook as Toka Khan. I got a fight coming up November 20th in Las Vegas. I just keep an eye for me. I'm a youngster coming up trying to make my name in the sport of boxing. I'm a tremendous worker when I'm in the ring. I try to give the fan everything I got. And we 16-0. We just trying to get to 17-0. I appreciate the love you guys showing me and continue to show me. And I know that one day we're going to get to where we need to get. And everybody in the world going to recognize my name.
Hey, man. No problem. And, hey, you know, we intend to be right there with you, you know, as you make your steps up in the world of boxing. And we look forward to having you back on the show again. Like I said, I'll be getting in touch with you, man, and I'll have you co-host the show with me. So you have a great night, and look forward to having you back.
Thank you very much. Have a good night.
You too. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that concludes our show for the evening. I was trying to get Armando back in, but it seems like he's having some difficulties with his training schedule, so we will try to reschedule him. But we'd like to thank our guest, Mr. Toka Khan, also Mario Barrios, and our third guest, of course, Mr. Ryan Cowboy Call. Looking forward to great things from all these young prospects in the ring, and we hope to see you next week. Have a great night, everyone.